So I've had such a wonderful time visiting with all of you. It's just like, these are all my sisters. I have a big family of sisters today. So when I was thinking of gratitude, it's such a thing that we all need so much. It's just, gratitude is, what do you think of when you think of gratitude? What's the first thing that comes into your mind? I want to hear from you a little bit. So if you're really good, I'll even let you have the mic. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I wanted to talk about that. Did you remember when her phone fell off the rack? And she said, oh, gosh. And I thought, that's in Psalms. Like, when the psalmist is saying something and then he says, Selah, and it's like, oh, pause and reflect on this. And it was like, she said, oh, gosh, well, that was her Selah. So it was good. You did good. Anybody have anything they want to say about gratitude? Yeah. Exactly. Okay, I can sit down. That's all I was going to say. That is, it's awesome. So the last week I was talking to a couple, I was with some friends, and I said, what would you say about gratitude? So Annette told me the story of how her son was wayward, becoming homeless. There were times that they didn't know where he was, and now many years later, he lives near them, has a wife and a couple of children. She was grateful that her son was restored to her family. So it probably took a lot longer than that for her to get to that place. That was many, many years. And some of you can probably identify with that. And then Sharon told us, Sharon told of how she was adopted into a safe family as a baby, and how as she became an adult, she was able to reconnect with her biological mom. But although she was grateful to her for giving her life, she was most grateful that her adoptive mom raised her up and gave her those years in a safe home. So that was two different. So everybody's going to have a different grateful. Just last week, I was reminded again to be grateful. On June 10th, I have a big birthday this year. So it's over now, but I'm not 80, but it was a big birthday. So June 10th started my birthday celebration, and my birthday is July 21st. So it was a gathering with a few siblings and a lot of nieces and nephews. When you try to get that many people together, you have to kind of be flexible with your date. So, and then they still don't all come. So it was a family reunion turned into a cousin's get-together and my birthday party. And so we still celebrated it well into August, getting together with those who could not make it. We still have one scheduled in September, and I'm milking it for all it's worth. So every once in a while reflecting on these gatherings, I would think back to my childhood and longing to sit by a lake. I have a bottle of water back in that high chair. Would somebody want to bring it to me, please? I should have brought it with me. So this isn't just any lake. I grew up in northern Minnesota up by Lake of the Woods. And so when when you sit by that lake, it pounds. Just wait, I'm going to drink my water first. I was drinking coffee, and I think that was dehydrating. Okay, I won't spell it. So, but it wasn't just any lake. You know, you can just go by a little lake and there's nothing much happening there. But this lake, like the waves come pounding into the shore and like the very ebb and flow of life, it reminds me of the ebb and flow of life, the grieving and rejoicing. We've all come through grieving times and then we've come through rejoicing times. I can remember when my mother-in-law passed away and I just thought, I don't know if we're ever going to be happy again. And then when we came home from the funeral, there were some of us out in the yard, and we were laughing. And it's like, it was so refreshing. It was just like, oh, we can have happiness again. And that was just one of my learning times about, well, we can go through grieving and still become happy. The seed time and harvest, the sickness and health, the lost and the found. About a week and a half ago, we were sitting by the beach at the edge of Lake Michigan, listening and watching the waves. So I had been telling God, you know, it'd be nice to be by a lake like that. And here we ended up there. The waves were coming in, feeling the warm sun and the cool breeze on my face. I thought in gratitude of a mighty God who loves us, cares for us, and gives us even the small things that we long for my birthday celebration. He continually loves us and wants to bless us with great and mighty things that he created with his power. And I just, as I sat there and I thought about that, and how it just one little wish in my heart for a childhood memory, and God was good enough to give it to us. Give it to me soon, way much sooner. I thought, we're going to wait till after school starts, then we'll go up to Ashland or someplace and see a big lake. And but here it was. We were on a trip to see Nelson's brother, and we ended up by that lake, and it was like it hit me just like that. This is a confirmation, a moment of gratitude when I heard him say in my spirit, I love you. Another thing is a confirmation. Did you ever get something you thought you heard from God, and then a few days later, somebody else said the same thing or something like that. Oh, yeah, God, you did really tell me that. And so those are the things that really touch your heart. A little more than 30 years ago, I was in the hospital with preeclampsia, waiting for the birth of our youngest son. And while waiting for a procedure called an amniocentesis, I was asking God for a verse that I could focus on to keep my mind on him instead of the procedure, which I didn't want to think about, so I was asking for a verse. And so I heard the verse, for his mercy endures forever. It's a verse from Psalms 136 that is repeated numerous times as the psalmist reflects on the way that God has helped. How many of you remember that chapter? It's for his mercy endures forever. I always wondered growing up, because in our family devotions, we would read through chapters one verse at a time. And it would get so redundant, for his mercy endures forever. And I never even really gave it much thought what it meant. But I call it an Ebenezer reminder, because in the Old Testament there was something where God did something great for the people, and I don't know the particular story, but God told him to set up a monument and pile the rocks up, and they called that pile of rocks Ebenezer. Because and it means reminder of how up until now the Lord has helped us. Let's see. I remember wondering if I was hearing God correctly, but I came through the procedure and no one was hurt. We were protected from any unnecessary injury. I've studied these verses now and then since that time. They have come to mean more and more to me. I'm going to read it from the Christian Standard Version. I kind of like these other ones because, you know, when verses get so familiar to you that you keep that you heard them so many times that you don't put any importance on them because it's just like something you repeat every year, every day. So I'll read it in the Christian Standard Version. His faithful love endures forever. So instead of mercy, faithful love, that kind of puts a little more light on the subject, and it endures forever. And I also like it in the Passion Translation, his tender love for us continues on forever. The words continues on kind of reminds me of those waves coming in one after another. Isn't that how God's tender love is, coming in one time after another? And then when we think about the hard things that have happened in our lives, that would be the ebb, and then when God's love comes showering in, then it comes in. And, you know, I this one saying, this too shall pass. Sometimes you just got to remember those things when you're in a storm because it doesn't last forever. I want you to stand up if you can. And if you can't, stand up, and if it's not easy. But there's no excuse for you young chicks. You can stand up. I'm going to read Psalms 136. We're going to do a responsive reading, which seems like we haven't done any of those for a long time. But there's power in the spoken word. And so sometimes we get away from that because we don't want to become too much into the liturgy thing, you know. But we need to do it once in a while. So I'm going to read this chapter. It's going to be long. It's got 26 verses. It won't take long. But whenever I pause, you say, his faithful love endures forever. And if you want to say, oh my gosh, you can. And if you want to say, Selah, you can. But most likely, might give thanks, his faithful love endures forever. And think about the words in between. Like, maybe you can, this is what happened to the children of Israel. And maybe that wasn't their experience, but you can have things in your life that you can think about that were things that didn't last long, but that you thought they were going to last forever. And so, but his faithful love endures forever. He's faithful. And it continues on and on. So verse 1 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods.
His faithful love endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord of lords. Put some expression into it so we get some. You can even jump up and down or stand on your chair if you want to. He alone does great wonders. He made the heavens skillfully. He spreads the land on the waters. He made the great lights. The sun to rule by day. The moon and stars to rule by night.
His faithful love endures
forever. He struck the firstborn of the Egyptians.
His faithful love endures
forever. That's when you should have said, oh my gosh. And brought Israel out from among them.
His faithful love endures forever.
With a strong hand and outstretched arm. He divided the Red Sea.
His faithful love endures forever.
And led Israel through.
His faithful love endures forever.
But hurled Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea.
His faithful love endures forever.
He led his people in the wilderness.
His faithful love endures forever.
He struck down great kings.
His faithful love endures forever.
And slaughtered the famous kings. Sion, king of the Amorites.
His faithful love endures forever.
And Og, king of Bashan.
His faithful love endures forever.
And gave their land as an inheritance.
His faithful love endures forever.
Inherit an inheritance to Israel and his servant.
His faithful love endures forever.
He remembers us in our humiliation.
His faithful love endures forever.
And rescued us from our foes. He gives food to every creature.
His faithful love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of heaven. His faithful love endures forever. Thank you so much. You can sit down. You know, if this is the only exercise that you can remember and you go home and take action on it, it will have been enough. No matter what we go through, it's still his faithful love endures forever. And even the oh my gosh thing, you know, can do that too. Okay, Robert Louis Stevenson once said, keep your eyes open to your mercies. The man who forgets to be thankful has fallen asleep in life. The Bible is so full of examples of giving thanks and gratitude for what we take for granted. Start looking for these examples, and you will find them everywhere in the Word of God, from the beginning to the end. So if you make this your own, go home and write this. Write your own Psalms 136 and the hard things that you've gone through, and then remind yourself, for his faithful love endures forever. and then read it over and over again, because it will change from day to day. Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes, but yet, his love is always there. Being full of gratitude, letting it become our very attitude, our mindset, the place where we can reset our thinking, will become a sanctuary for us to share with our Creator. And that makes me think of another word, sanctuary. What do you think of when you hear sanctuary? Safe place. That's, I thought of that today too. So do you have a place that you call your sanctuary? Anyone? I have some places in my yard where I like to sit and just read and pray. And I think those are sanctuary. Sometimes I think of church as sanctuary. It's a safe place, it is. And so I think we all need to have those places, but I think that they are, the common denominator with all of those sanctuary is that's where you go meet God. In Psalms 104 through 5, it says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good, and his faithful love endures forever, his faithfulness through all generations." And that's the first I noticed. Those are almost the same words of his faithful love endures forever. And here it's in Psalms 104 and 5. But it's saying, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and I always think of that as going to church on Sunday and meeting with the other Christians and being able to fellowship with each other. When I think of sanctuary, I think of the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was kept in the first tabernacle that God gave the instructions for Moses to build when they were in the wilderness. We did a study, us ladies at church here did a study, A Woman's Heart, God's Dwelling Place. And this study was written by Beth Moore, but we had so much fun doing that study because it was like, this is a sanctuary and the Holy of Holies, and this is where God dwells in my heart. It also made me think of a birthday gift that came from my children and grandchildren. I forgot to bring it along, but it's a little, pretty little box. It's got a little lock on it, and it had 3x5 cards in, and it says, "I love Grandma because," and then they all wrote things that, like, she always makes enough food, and she makes yummy pancakes, and she turns every conversation into a spiritual lesson. And so those were some of the ones, and then the younger ones, of course, were, you know, the ones like the pancakes and stuff like that. You know, the older ones were a little more. And then some of them, the ones that lived next to us, they were saying, we made so many good memories. Walking on the railroad tracks up to Glen Flora and got ice cream, and we did that with several of them. But so what if there was no, what if I pulled those all out and they were all blank cards? There was nothing on them. I would have felt, because when I take those out and look at them, it really builds me up. It makes me feel really awesome because I did something right. Anyway, my grandchildren noticed. But I'm going to read Revelation 5:8. Oh, no, I have it written here. Good. So it says, when he took the scroll, we're studying Revelation in Sunday school right now. So it's going on in our house right now. And so I've been studying it. One of the verses, when he took the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp and golden bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And the first time I heard this, it was like, golden bowls. Well, I have this bowl. It's what I put, I plug it in, and I put drops of essential oils in it, and it comes out. It's an incense, kind of like. And so I picture that, like a golden bowl. This is a wooden bowl, but a golden bowl. And it represents the prayers of the saints. What if we don't pray? So how many times do we, I sometimes just read my Bible and jump up and get on with my day. Go through my list of to-dos, and it's like, I got to get these all checked off. And then I think, I think of that song. Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? And it's like, oh. When we pray and show gratitude to our Heavenly Father, it's like incense, a sweet smell to God. If we don't remember to show gratitude to God, the incense bowls would be empty. So how would you feel if you were grandma and you got this little box that said, I love grandma because, and then it was empty. And how does God feel if we do not take time to thank him and show gratitude to him? Ephesians 5:18b through 21 says, but be filled by the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making music with your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. And I can't read this verse without thinking of a little song that goes with it. Anybody know the song? We're going to sing it, and we're going to sing it twice at least, so that you can maybe learn it. Maybe it'll come to your mind, too, when we sing it. It's old. It's very old. So some of you younger ones, you might have to just do a descant with, oh, my gosh. If you want to stand up here. So it's basically just saying the words in King James. So I'll sing it once, and if you know it, sing along. I know, Katie, you probably know it, and Val. You should come up and help me, maybe. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, in hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now try to sing with me. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That is in the Bible. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making music with your heart to the Lord. Give thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. And how many of us like that part? Sometimes we forget that part about just don't throw your friends away. If they don't agree with you on something, don't just throw them away. You keep them and keep praising the Lord together. Philippians 4:6-7. Don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So I'm thinking, when we get together and we have we don't do it very often, and near as often as we did growing up, but we have a prayer meeting, or we have prayer requests at Bible study or something, or on Sunday morning, and we pray for all the sick people, and we pray for all the people that are on their deathbed, and we pray for especially all the ones that have cancer, and I'm not making fun of all this, but with thanksgiving, I put it in capital letters because we forget that part. Could it be possible that gratitude could be the antidote for anxiety? If we mix thanksgiving with our requests, could that be the formula to cast out worry? How about if we mix the thanksgiving with our requests? So I came up with that question. Could it be possible that gratitude could be the antidote for anxiety? Because you hear so much anxiety going on around. It's kind of like it's an epidemic that it's going through. And could it be possible? And I was asking myself that question. I was preparing for this, and I kept asking that question. And I would ask people. I even asked a lady on Lake Michigan. We had a conversation, and I said, could it be possible that gratitude is the antidote for anxiety? Our prayers sometimes only expressing things that we are worried about? We all know people who have anxiety issues, or we have some ourselves. Anxiety also causes other illness. We've heard for years that stress causes symptoms of many sicknesses that could be cleared if we just thank God for our blessings, in my opinion. So, then I got my stuff out again, and I was studying, and I found this, I don't know, you heard this before, it just popped up on the internet, but it came, a quote by A.W. Pink says, "The best antidote for anxiety is frequent meditation upon God's goodness, power, and sufficiency. When the saint can confidently realize, the Lord is my shepherd, he must draw the conclusion, I shall not want." So that is a confirmation. I love it when that happens. God's spirit is speaking to my spirit to confirm that it's true. And we know that in the Word, that what is, if it's in the Word, it is true. So I'm almost done. I have one page left. So if you're going to do a sila or anything, do it now. Jump up and do it. Why am I picking on you today, right? I've heard it said that during the most difficult times in our lives, we should focus on praising God. Sometimes you just have to play hurt. And that is really a hard thought for me, because sometimes I just want to sit and just coddle myself and give myself a little more time and take time for myself a little bit. But sometimes, you know, when your kid's on the football field, he don't just go sit there and feel sorry for himself. He plays hurt. And one of my kids told me, "Mom, whatever you do, never come down on the field. And if I'm dying, you don't come down in the field." So that's what it means to play hurt. I'm going to read Acts 16:16 through 34. "Once we were on our way to prayer," this is talking about Paul and Silas in prison. "Once we were on our way to prayer," this is Acts 16, yeah, I told you that, "a slave girl met us who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She made a large profit for her owners by fortune-telling. As she followed Paul, she cried out, 'These men who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation are the servants of the Most High God.' She did this for many days. Paul was greatly annoyed. Turning to the spirit, he said, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And it came out right away. When our owners realized that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. Bringing them before the chief magistrates, they said, 'These men are seriously disturbing our city. They are Jews and are promoting customs that are not legal for us as Romans to adopt or practice.' The crowd joined in the attack against them, and the chief magistrates stripped off their clothes and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had severely flogged them, they threw them in jail, ordering the jailer to guard them carefully. Receiving such an order, he put them into the inner prison and secured their feet in the stocks." So if you can, you're naked and your feet are in the stocks, and it's probably you're cold, because I always think if I'm going to get persecuted, I sure hope I have a blanket. But they didn't. And so about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God still, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the jail were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains came loose. When the jailer woke up and saw the doors of the prison standing open, he drew his sword and was going to kill himself, since he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul called out in a loud voice, 'Don't harm yourself, because we're all here.' The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. He escorted them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' They said, 'Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household.' And they spoke the word of the Lord to him along with everyone in his house. He took them the same hour of night, and he washed their wounds. Right away, he and all his family were baptized. He brought them into his house, set a meal before them, and rejoiced because he had come to believe in God with his entire household." Gratitude is a thing that gladdens our heart, even in the middle of great sadness or in times of rejection. Do you know, we've all had rejection sometime or other. Like I was saying, I bring a soup to a potluck and nobody eats it and I have to take it home. That's rejection. That's in a small, small thing. But I bring cheesecake. I'm doing good today. So that rejection or sadness or grief, it reminds me, when we have gratitude, It reminds me of water on a dry sponge. Sometimes it is sweet like cold water when you're extremely thirsty. So the Bible has a lot of verses about this gratitude thing. I could go on and on, but I only have a half a page left. But go home and study it, because it brings you such, it's like fresh water in a desert. Colossians 3:16 and 17, let the word of Christ dwell richly among you in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another through psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Give thanks to God the Father through him. I know a lot of you listen to praise and worship music in your house all day. That is so wonderful. If I remember to do it, I do it, but sometimes I just get busy in that to-do list and I forget. But that is wonderful. That is telling the evil, you need to leave in Jesus' name. And this is what spirit is going to dwell in my house today. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Don't stifle the Spirit. Don't despise prophecies, but test all things. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil. Another quote, Jefferson Bethke says, thankfulness is the quickest path to joy. So you can, do you ever wake up sad? Sometimes it's just like, there's so much sadness. And I think it could be somewhat, there's sad things may happen, but sometimes it's in the spirit world around you, and you just need to think about and set your mind on the things that are in the Word, that we can have the gratitude, because it's the quickest path to joy. So let's do it. There's a book, 1,000 Gifts, I think it's called, I have it back there, so you can ask me afterwards. But it's a lady her sister was killed in a farm accident, and she just had a lot of sad things happen to her, and she started working on joy and thankfulness, and she decided, 1,000 Gifts is the name of the book. And so she decided that she was going to start a list of 1,000 things she's thankful for. And it even came down to when she was washing dishes in the sink, and the bubbles in the sink, when the sun shines in the window, it makes rainbows on those. And that was one of the things that she put on her list. And so I started this. I have a really nice leather journal that my daughter-in-law gave me for Christmas. And so I said, this is going to be my thankful list. This is going to be 1,000 gifts. And I'm at 65. So I got a ways to go. That 1,000 is a lot. But when you start thinking about it, there's so many things around us that even in the midst of the sorrow and the grief and the pain and all of the anxiety, there's gifts. It will change our lives. It will make a difference in our lives and in the lives that we connect with. We are an army of women who remember whose we are and where we came from. The joy of the Lord is our strength.